This is the word of God found in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. John, Gospel according to John, chapter 11, verse 1 through 5. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I'd like to continue on with some of the thoughts that Brother Jerry has already mentioned, because it's important, I think, that we think of them. About 30 years or so ago, Brother Ronald Lawrence, who pastors the Little Primitive Baptist Church north of Nashville in Goodlettsville, Tennessee, preached a sermon on Martha and Mary and Lazarus, on Martha as portraying work in the service of God, and on Mary as portraying worship, and upon Lazarus, their brother, portraying witness. Some of these things have just come up in Brother Jerry's comments. Mary is such a picture of worship. She's down at the feet of Jesus. And he gave us the first example where that's so clearly portrayed. There was a supper in their house, and Martha was working, and she was cumbered about with much serving, and she was kind of put out that her sister Mary wasn't helping her with the service, because Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, both hearing his teaching, there sitting at his feet. And that was the good part. The Lord Jesus Christ would not rebuke Mary for that, because it was good what Martha was doing. But the better part, the good part, was what Mary was doing. She was at the feet of Jesus, hearing his teaching, there rejoicing in the truth that he bore witness to. So Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Now, if we read a little further in this chapter 11 of John, the Lord Jesus Christ stays 2 days in the place where he is, at a distance from Jerusalem and Judea and Bethany. And in the meantime, by the time he arrives at their town, Bethany, which the town itself, Beth, anytime you see that in the scripture, it means house of. Bethel is house of God. Bethsaida is the house of the afflicted. Bethany means the house of friends. And these three were all friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know? Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So this was a place he visited often. That very town means house of friends. And there Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived. And the Lord Jesus Christ stayed 2 days in the place that he was when he got word that Lazarus was sick. So by the time he made it back to Bethany, Lazarus had been in the grave. He had died and had been buried for 4 whole days. The Lord Jesus Christ chose to let that happen. Why? Because this was to the glory of God. He was going to raise Lazarus there in Bethany. But that's not what I'm trying to communicate right now. I just want you to see the roles of his two sisters in this chapter. The Lord gets back to Bethany. You know who comes out to meet him? Who is there to make sure that somebody is there to welcome him? You know who does that work, even though she's in deep grief? It's Martha. Martha is the one that goes out and makes sure he knows that they're glad to have him there. They appreciate him coming, even though he's come 4 days after the burial. She's just doing that work of making him welcome. Well, where's Mary? She's still in the house. And they go call her. what does Mary do when they call her? Well, that's what I'll go ahead and read. So it says, starting with verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." You see where Mary is at this point again? Martha's working. She's going out to make sure the Lord's welcome. Where's Mary? She comes out of the house, and where does she go? She falls down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Well, you know the rest of this account. The Lord is groaning in himself, and he goes to the grave, and he sees the people mourning, and it says Jesus wept. But then he commands that the stone be rolled away from the grave, and they said, "Well, Lord, he's been buried 4 days. By this time he stinks." And he says, "Said I not that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" And they rolled the gravestone away, and it probably did stink. And then the Lord prayed, and he says, "Father, I know that thou always hearest me, but for these that stand by, I pray unto thee that they may believe that thou hearest me." And then when he said that, Jesus Christ gave a command, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, which I guess it meant he floated out of the grave. He was bound hand and foot. And when he came out, the Lord said, "Loose him and let him go." Not a single person there helped Lazarus come to life. He was already alive. He came floating out of the grave. You know what the people were there to do? They were to help him to be able to not stink and to be able to walk. They were there to remove the grave clothes, not to help him get life. Neither moving the stone away helped Lazarus get life, nor taking the grave clothes off helped Lazarus get life. The first, rolling the stone away, manifested that he was dead. As the stink rolled out into the cemetery, manifested death. What they did to get the grave clothes off helped him to be free of that and to be able to move around. But one person and one person alone gave Lazarus life. And that was Jesus Christ. So he was alive, and then he was able to move. And so then they were ready to celebrate this. And we read about that in John chapter 12. Then, starting with the first verse. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. You get that? What's Martha doing? She's working again, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Where's Mary again? She's at his feet. This time she's not hearing his teaching. This time she's not at his feet mourning. This time she's at his feet washing his feet and anointing them with precious ointment. Let's read further and see something about Lazarus. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And so, but the way Brother Ronald preached this is this way. There's three important things that the church needs to be about. One is work. Y'all know it. For the church to minister to others, you have to work. That's what ministry means, service. You have to sometimes change the light bulbs, vacuum the carpet, cook some food, drive your car to get there, write a card for others. You have to do some work. That's part of the church, as portrayed by Martha. She was cumbered about with much serving. She went out to welcome the one who had come to visit the graveyard. She was here serving at this celebration supper. That's good. It's needful. Lazarus portrays witness. Lazarus, the one that the Lord brought out of the grave, and now Lazarus is actually making the enemies of the Lord angry enough to want to kill him. Why? What does he do? He just sits there alive and eats supper with the Lord. Just being with the Lord is a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ had the power to raise the dead, and the enemies of Jesus Christ didn't like that. You bear witness. You bear witness by going and telling folks how great things God has done for you and has had compassion on you. When you let somebody know, the Lord's been good to me, why is it you go to that little bitty church where so few? Because God's been good to me, and I enjoy hearing of his power proclaimed there. And we should go with me. You know, you bear witness. Sometimes just the kind words you say or the reverent things that you do bear witness to the goodness of God. And that's needed. We need to bear witness of the might and the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus did that just by being there, just by being with him, just by, you know, Lazarus might have said, hey, I'm so glad to be alive again. Probably wasn't. He probably wished he was still in heaven in presence. But he wasn't saying, well, now that I got this time, I'm going to go fishing and I'm going to party hardy because, hey, I got a second lease on life here. There's some people that do that. I mean, they recover from great diseases and they go out and they just live a terrible life because they decided, well, life's short. I better grab for all the gusto I can. But that's not what Lazarus did. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do whatever this man that rose me from the dead bids me to do. I'm going to sit at supper with him. I'm going to show that he is great and that he's the one that's given me life. He bare witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did Mary do? Right back at the feet of Jesus. She portrays worship. And that's what Brother Jerry just told us about. Down at the feet of Jesus is worship. You know, most of that is an inward thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's within. You submit to his commandments. It's within. You acknowledge his worthiness, his beauty, his holiness. Within you do that. There's a little bit that we have in the church where we can kind of be outward about that. Singing is part of it. That's why singing is so important. You don't have to be a great singer. I've been losing my voice the last month or two. And that's not what it's about. It's not the beauty of the music that people hear outward. It's about the praise coming forth from your heart. That's so important to a church. It's important that the song service takes place in a matter sincerely as possible from the inward expressed outwardly. Doesn't have to be musically glorious. I like to sing the best I can. I like to be on pitch when I can. I like for the chords to form and the harmonies. I think it's very nice. But it's not about the musical quality. It is about the expression of inwardly being at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's what the song service is about. There's something else that we have been given in the church that's an outward expression of that inward worship. Not only in the song service, but Primitive Baptists do something very strange in the world, and y'all know where I'm going with this. We do something that's pretty typical. We break the bread in memory of the Lord's broken body. It's real unleavened bread. It's not a cracker. It's real unleavened bread. And then we take the cup, and it's not grape juice. It's not fruit juice. It's sure enough fermented wine. It's not much, just a little thimbleful or some share a cup, take a sip out of it. But it's real fermented wine, portraying the purity of his shed blood on the cross. Those things, but you know, a lot of people do that. Then we do something that some other people do, but it's not very common. And you know what it is. In obedience to his command there, that he said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And we actually wash each other's feet. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, the Lord said something in Matthew chapter 25, talking about feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those that were sick and in prison. He said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When I bow down and wash my brother's feet, that is just part of trying to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. It's easy to do when I think of what he's done for me. You know, it was easy for Mary to do this. It was easy for her to take a box of ointment that was worth about a year's wages, 300 pence. You know, a laborer made about a penny a day. So 300 pence is like 300 days of work in a vineyard. Pretty much, she took this, you know, what? Somebody makes $40,000 a year maybe now. Can you imagine taking a $40,000 bottle of perfume and pouring it on somebody's feet, a carpenter's son? It's what Mary just did. But it was totally worth it to her. You know why? Her brother was sitting there. And here's the man that had raised him from the dead. No problem taking a year's wages and breaking it on his feet. And not only that, but after she broke it on his feet, she took the glory, beautiful hair of hers and bowed down and wiped his feet with it. Why? Here's her Lord, had raised her brother, her hope of living. So it was no problem for her to once again, as she had been at his feet hearing his teaching, as she had been at his feet mourning for her brother, no problem now being at his feet. And Mary portrays worship, work and witness and worship. The church needs to be involved in all three. Now, some people are better at some of those than others. You know, some folks are just, they are workers. They get the food on the table. They get things clean. They make sure everybody knows they're welcome. God bless those people, how we need them. Others just lean more toward worship. You know, they love it. They may be good singers, they may not be good singers, but they are heartfelt singers. They love it, they love the words, they love the one they're singing to. Some people are witnesses. I mean, they're inviting others to church. They're saying, come and see, love to have you. Wish you were there. God's been good to me. God's got me through so many things. God is my hope. The Lord is. They are witnesses. We need all three. As a matter of fact, all of us ought to be trying to practice some of these. You may lean toward one. You may lean toward another. Let me tell you how the enemy can get in the midst of this. Some people that are workers, they can look at somebody that leans toward worship or witness and say, I sure wish these people would help me more. Isn't that what Martha did? Lord, my sister had left me to serve alone. Lord said, sorry, Martha. She's chosen the good part, and it's not going to be taken from her. Sometimes people that are lean worship, it's like, you know, all that person does is sweep the floor and bring lunch and stuff. I sure wish that they would be more emotional about their worship. That's not for everybody. Doesn't show much emotion. Some people do. Some people, Over my years, I've encountered certain people, they're very rare, but they have what I call preaching faces. And that is when the gospel is being preached, it's like all of a sudden they start to glow. It's a real remarkable thing. Not everybody has that. I don't think I have that. It's just not everybody has the same gift. But I want you to focus here on what it said in John chapter 11, verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Some people, work comes more naturally. Some people, worship comes more naturally. Some people, witness comes more naturally. The Lord loves them all. We need them all. Don't look down on other people because they don't practice what comes easy for you. Appreciate them for the gifts they have and try to balance it out so that you and I, as individuals, practice all three of these. If somebody doesn't serve God the same way you serve God, let them serve God the way they do, as long as it's within the teaching of Scripture, and rejoice about it. Be glad for the different gifts. But how good it is to work in the service of the Lord, to be at His feet in worship, to bear witness of what He's done for us. Didn't Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, do the same thing? Think of how He worshiped. Remember when He broke into thanksgiving to His Father? And He said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. He was a man of worship that thanked God. Remember where he was when his parents left and they searched 3 days for him? Where was he? He was in the temple talking with the doctors and elders, asking them questions, and they marveled at his understanding. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, was a man of worship. Remember, after he was baptized, he came back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day for to read. Now, a lot of people stay away from what they call organized religion. Don't want to meet with others. There's a whole lot of hypocrites in the church. Well, there are a whole lot of hypocrites in the church. You're looking at one. But you know what? There were a lot of hypocrites in that synagogue. And not only did the Lord Jesus Christ go into that synagogue with all those hypocrites, he had been going there year after year after year as a young person, because it says he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day as his custom was for to read. Let me tell you how hypocritical this synagogue was. After he told them that God sometimes blessed miracles upon Gentiles, they took him out and tried to throw him off a cliff to kill him. You want to talk about a bad congregation? That synagogue had them. It was still Jesus Christ's custom to meet with them once a week to hear Scripture. Brothers and sisters, if you would be Christ-like, doesn't matter how full of hypocrites the church is, you'll still go once a week to concentrate on Scripture. If you don't, that is just one aspect in which you're less Christ-like. I can serve God just as good on the mountaintop as I can in the church building. Sure you can. The Lord went to the mountaintop often to pray, but he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day once a week to hear Scripture. Want to be really Christ-like? Do that. Show up to hear the Scripture once a week where people gather for that purpose, and then go up on the mountaintop and pray by yourself. Do it both. That's what he did. He was a man of worship, is my point. Was the Lord Jesus Christ a man of work? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Think of the work that he did. Not only as a carpenter's son, think of the work he did when he did the miracles. He went about not only proclaiming the good word, but he went about doing good. The Lord was one who was a working man. They said, is not this the carpenter? So the Lord knew what it was to be hard at work. Was he a witness? Yes, he came to bear witness of the truth. If I go over to where he's on trial before Pontius Pilate, it says this is John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. See that in the life of the Lord? He was a worshiper. He was a worker. He was a witness. He was the perfect human being. And when his hour was come, though many times people had tried to kill him, tried to throw him off a cliff in Nazareth, he walked through the crowd. His hour was not yet come. But when his hour was come, he suffered himself to be arrested. He suffered himself to be mocked. He suffered himself to be tortured. He suffered himself to be scourged. He suffered himself to be declared not guilty, but sentenced to death. He suffered them to drive nails through his hands and through his feet. He suffered them to put a crown of thorns upon his head. He suffered them to continue the mockery as he hung naked there on the cross, as they gambled for his clothes. He suffered even the taunting of the thieves on either side until one of them was remarkably changed. He suffered all of that, and that was just the least of his suffering. Darkness fell, and he suffered the penalty of sin in the darkness and the wrath of God for your sin, my great hope, my sin. He suffered it until it was all paid for, was all put away, was all washed away. It was all done away by Jesus Christ. And that's why we worship him. And that's why we work in his service. And that's why we bear witness of his goodness. How good it is to worship, work, and witness. Don't ever, you know, if you really show your love for God, you show your love for others. If you don't love your brother whom you can see, how is it that you love God whom you can't see? But I want you also to watch out for this. The first commandment is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. And the second commandment is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Keep these two in mind, but here's my point, and I want you to remember this. Don't get the second one above the first. The human race, and in particular this country, is doing that a lot. It's kind of like, you know, if I help the poor and I help others, I don't have to mess with all this religious stuff. No, don't get the second commandment above the first commandment. The first commandment is you and God. You and God alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second commandment is like unto it. That means it's a real close second. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord would not want you getting these out of order. First him, then your neighbor, then your brother, then your sister. You say, well, I'll never love him as well as I ought to, so I don't know if I'll ever get to that. No, they go together. You can't do one without the other rightly. You really don't know how to love your neighbor if you don't love the Lord. And you really aren't very sincere about loving the Lord if you don't love your neighbor. That's what John said. That's the one you can see. But have these in the right order. How good it is to serve and love others. How good it is to have them serve and love you. But first and foremost, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. What a wonderful place it is when you're at the feet of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Let's try to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Dear God, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for these who are met and assembled to worship you. Lord, help us to do just that. Let us in our heart bow down before you, so that we may glorify God in both our body and spirit, which are yours, which you have purchased, Lord. You bought with a price. Lord, we rejoice that we're yours. That's our hope, that we belong to you. And we pray, dear God, that we'll act more like that as days go by. Father, forgive us our sins. Bless us with your Spirit. Bless us with your wisdom. Thank you for the beauty that we see round about us. Lord, help us to serve you faithfully until we see that beauty in a place without sin. At your feet, Lord, in glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.